Yeah, we're doing a series on practicing the presence of God, and it's really so important that we do that. Andrew started the series last week when we were talking about breathing in God. And as I said before, the exercise that Andrew gave us was for each breath we can, breathe in God. You can't do it all the time, but just maybe at various points in your day, you can just breathe in God. And I've really found it powerful this week. It's really blessed me. I hope you found it too. At the end of this series, in a few weeks' time, there's going to be an open mic service, and that's an opportunity for you to share really what you've got from the series and really what God's doing in your experience and in your life. That verse that was on the screen there, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That gives you a flavour really of what we're trying to achieve here, and that is to get into that mindset, if you like, that's what we're talking about today, into that lifestyle of being with God all the time. So it's not just a Sunday morning experience or a Friday night experience in the prayer meeting, but it's a 24/7 experience that we are living and moving with God. If you didn't hear last week's sermon, you weren't here, then it's on a podcast. You can pick it up on our website. Please have a look at that. Today, the title is Thinking with God. Thinking with God. What a thought. It just struck me when I heard that title, Thinking with God. What a thought that you and me are thinking with God. Hey, try and get your mind to get hold of that phrase. My puny little mind, thinking with the mind of the all creator God. Dave, what do you think about that? Hey, imagine that. But that's the truth. God's saying to me, Dave, what do you think about that? Some of my own family wouldn't even ask me that, let alone God saying, yeah, you put your name there. What do you think about that? That's how close God wants his relationship to be with us, our minds in harmony. Do you know, any relationship discusses options and possibilities all the time. If you're in any sort of a relationship, what do you think about this? Should we do this? Shall I go there? What do you think? Do you know, the longer you know somebody, the longer you've been in relationship with somebody, that relationship deepens, then your minds begin to connect and you know what each other is thinking. Chris, my wife over here for over 40 years, knows exactly what I'm thinking. I don't probably know what she's thinking, but she certainly knows what I'm thinking, yeah? And hopefully we get to know what our desires are of each other. Do you know over there, you're not too sure, Nick, like this? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Women's intuition. But anyway, you know, we get to know each other's desires and dreams, what we like about each other, what they like about us. If you go shopping at all, it's quite a big eye-opener, isn't it? Do you think I look good in this? How would you answer that one? It's a difficult one, isn't it? What's the mind thinking, you know? What do you think about that? I like this, and I just have to look at Chris's face and know she doesn't like it. But when you've been around about 10 shops, you get to know which one you want, don't you? Us guys, we just go, that's the one I want, bang. So we're wired up slightly differently. But thought and thinking is important. We get to know each other. We get to think of each other. And bringing it back to where we were, talking about our relationship with God, it's important that our minds begin to grasp hold of God thinking with us. The verse was on the screen there. It's in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And the J.B. Phillips translation was on there. And it says this. It says, with eyes wide open to the mercy of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable to him. Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. It's easy for us to allow that to happen, isn't it? We easily get sucked in to what the world thinks and what the world wants. But what does God think? In the NIV, that is translated this. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's important that we get our mind and our thinking in tune with God. Isaiah 55:8 says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." God's on a different level. His thoughts are on a different level. It doesn't mean he doesn't communicate with us. It doesn't mean that he's not going to speak to us. But you've got to realize that God sees a massive picture that we don't see. But you know, as Christians today, we're living in a relationship with Almighty God. You and me, if we've asked Jesus to come into our lives and be our Savior, accepted what he's done for us on Calvary, then we are in a living relationship with Almighty God. We are in Christ. We're ransomed, we're healed, we're restored, we're forgiven. That's what the hymn says. And as I was sharing there before, we have the Holy Spirit within us. When Jesus left the earth, he said, "I'm sending and giving you the Holy Spirit." And the translation of a word of that is paraclete. It's something that comes alongside us. It's something that's designated to us. Yeah? The Holy Spirit has been designated to you. It's a hard thing to grasp hold of. But the living God is in my life. He's designated to me. He's with me. He's alongside me. He's the counselor, the comforter in every situation and every circumstance. An old hymn said this. It says, "Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness above. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." And that's what happened when we became Christians. When we come into that living relationship, those chains that bind us, those things that pull us down, are all broken. And so many of us, unfortunately, we live in chains, but as Christians, they're cobwebs. We think they're chains, but they're just cobwebs because we're forgiven. Those chains have been broken at Calvary, and we are in a living relationship with Almighty God. He's in our lives, he's in our circumstances, and all those things are broken. And that hymn was written about the story when Peter was in prison, yeah? He was in the dungeon. So what did he do when his chains fell off, the dungeon walls opened? What did he do? Did he stay there and say, "Well, yeah, I might as well stay"? No, he rose, went forth and followed because he was free. He was set free immediately. But you know, so often, guys, we just live our lives almost in a dungeon. We stay in that dark place. We stay in that place of captivity when God says, "You are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." You are free. You mightn't feel it today, but it's the truth. So let the cobwebs go. Blow them off. And come and follow me. Get your mind fixed on what Jesus says. And I'm talking to myself here when I'm talking to you, by the way. I'm not just talking to you and not me. Get your mind fixed on him. Because you are free today in him. But you know, the what ifs take over, don't they? Well, what if this? Or what if that? Or what if the other? And we put all these things in the way. We get ourselves knotted up, don't we? We get into worry. We get into fear, we get into anxiety. And you know, if we do that and it gets too much for us, eventually we end up into what I call escapism. And ultimately that leads us into sin because we just drift off into a path and God gets left behind. We let our worries and fears bind us up. You see, but God doesn't have panic attacks. God doesn't never have a panic attack. Nothing throws him. He doesn't have wobblers. God never throws a wobbler. Yeah? I won't ask you to put your hands up if you've thrown a wobbler, but plenty of us have, yeah? We get, whoa, something happens. You know, we get a letter. Should I open it or shouldn't I? It's from HM Customs. What do you think? Yeah? Should I open it or shouldn't I? We're like that, aren't we? Sometimes you might leave a letter for a few hours and think, well, I'm not sure, you know? Or it could be a bill. I don't know, because you mightn't have the money to pay for it. It could be something else. But immediately we begin to go down the tubes. Because we forget who we are. We forget that God is with us. There's no what ifs. There's nothing takes God by surprise. Things take us by surprise and they throw us off track. But nothing takes him by surprise. Isaiah 26 says this. It says, "He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast and trust in him. He'll keep your mind in perfect peace. It's no surprise, I think, I'm probably fair to say that mental health is probably one of the biggest things that affecting people today, mental health issues, yeah? You'd think in a society where, you know, there's so many opportunities for help, so many things that are on a plate for people, but mental health, why? Because people are just screwed up, aren't they, with so many issues and so many problems because the mind is just really taking them and twisted, and the enemy's got in and done it. And as Christians, it can easily happen to us, but God wants us to be thinking with him, living with him. So don't allow the circumstances to control you. Don't let the world squeeze you into his mold, as it says there. Don't let the world conform you to its pattern. So don't allow things to unsettle you or get you thinking negatively about yourself. I don't know what sort of a week you've had this week. I've had a bit of an up and down week this week. You probably know about the hustings. I'm not going to say too much because we're on recording here, but you only have to look at the local press. We actually made the Times, believe it or not, because there was a few nasty things flying around, yeah? What are we going to do? Are we just going to say, woo? It affected some people like that. They just went vroomph down the tubes. But we say, hang on a minute. No, what's a man going to say to me? What's a few words going to do? Yeah. Maybe this Edge Hill situation hasn't affected you. It certainly affected me. It's got me going a little bit. I think it might have had some of the leaders going a little bit. I didn't know what I was going to expect and I walked in here today. But it's beautiful, isn't it? It's a bit too hot. I could do with taking my shirt off. But yeah, I won't do that, love. Don't worry. I won't. But you know what I mean? Yeah. Because if we're not careful, our thought patterns can go. Health, I could easily be all screwed up about my health situation. But everything's fine, it's going forward. God is in control. But if we're not careful, we could, oh dear me, we could suddenly start going right down the tubes if we allow these circumstances to control us. Joel Osteen, American preacher, said these words. He said this, just because we are in a stressful situation doesn't mean that we have to get stressed out. Just because we're in a stressful situation doesn't mean that we have to get stressed out. I'm not saying that you will never, ever face a stressful situation. If you're in work, if you've got a family, doesn't matter where you are, you're going to face stressful situations. You're going to face things that are going to come in front of you. And it's like, how on earth am I going to deal with that? You know, you're going to have a boss that's going to be on your back. You're going to have something that's going to go wrong. Yeah, you're going to have whatever it may be. Circumstances are going to come. But don't throw a wobbler. Don't throw a panic attack. Just because it's a stressful situation, don't let it stress you out. We know the story of Jesus. He was in the storm. He was in the boat. And what was he? He was asleep. Hey, he was asleep. Why was he in a sleep? Why was he asleep in the boat? Well, he knew. He says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. Yeah? He didn't say we're going to the bottom. No. If he said we were going to the bottom, he'd have been wide awake and hanging on himself. But he said, no, we're going to the other side. And so he got on the boat and he fell asleep. I'd have done exactly the same. Would you? Yeah. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, then there's no problem. And you know what happened? Halfway across, bang, the storm comes. And it must have been a heck of a storm because these were seasoned fishermen, but they were panicking for their lives. But Jesus was asleep and they got a bit angry, didn't they? Got a bit upset with him. And we know what happened in the rest of the story. But you know, guys, Jesus has said, we are going to the other side. I don't know how we're going to get there, yeah? It might be through stormy waters, yeah? It might mean a walk on the bottom. I don't know. But I know I am going to the other side, yeah? I am on a journey with Jesus, yeah? And I am going to the other side. My life is hidden in his hands. Yeah, and so it doesn't determine what happens politically. It doesn't happen what determines around me because I know that God is with me and he is taking my life in his hands and we're going forward. If I choose to step out of that and decide I'll do it on my own, then the consequences are mine, yeah? But if I seek to follow God, if I seek to get my mind fixed on him, then we are going together in a partnership. Yeah, if me and Chris suddenly decide, well, yeah, we're just going to do our own thing, then it's going to be a bit of a mess. Who's paying the bills, right? Who's making the tea? Yeah, who's doing the washing? Who's doing the ironing? It'll just be a bit of a mess. But it's a partnership, yeah? together. Might not always be the best partnership, but you know what I mean. We get things wrong. We mess up. Yeah. What's for tea tonight? You know, and we haven't bought anything, or it's my fault, or I don't know. Things go wrong. Yeah. But in God, we are together. We are together in a partnership. We're joined. We're united. And we've got to stick close to God. And as we stick close to him, then things begin to move. And there's a verse here in Philippians, you know it well, it says this: brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, don't bother about it. No? What does it say? It says, think on these things. Think on these things. You see, these are God thoughts. God thoughts. His mindset, the mindset of God in your life and my life, the mindset of God about our past, about our present, about our future, God's mindset with your mind and my mind. You see, we need to focus on him and see things clearly. And if you're not focused on him today, then you need to refocus. You know, if you take a picture and it's fuzzy and you can't see what it is, you know what it's like. So you refocus your lens. I'm not a cameraman, by the way. You refocus and you get the sharp image. Yeah. You know what it's like when you're watching something in HD? It hits you. And God's in more than HD. He's in a higher definition than we can ever anticipate. So we need to focus on him. Get things into perspective. If you've got things today that are weighing you down, if you've got things today that are burdening you, if you've got things today that are really just shaking your foundations, then refocus on God. Take your eyes off yourself and your circumstances and refocus on him. Bring those things into line with him and say, God, you take these things and you deal with those things, and I'll seek to follow you. I'll seek to see what you're doing. And refocus. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this: be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. One of the good things I've found about not working and going towards retirement is I've got more time than ever to be still. Because I'm not a still person. And it's a difficult thing for me to be still. But to be still has given me the opportunity to know that I am God, yeah? Because you never stop learning about God. And I've been on the road with God for a long, 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 long time. Probably before most of you were even born. Yeah. But we need to take that time in a busy, rushing, instant world to be still and know that I am God. To be still and get our minds in tune with him. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. But he's asking you to seek him, to find him, so you'll know which way to go. Where next? He wants that relationship with you. He wants that sat-nav switched on all the time. So how are we going to do that? The theory's brilliant. The practice is a little bit difficult. How are we going to do that? And this series needs to be practical. Well, obviously, communication is very, very important. There's an old song and it says this: he walks with me. And he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. It's a two-way conversation. We need to be listening for the voice of God. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever heard the audible voice of God. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I know people who have, but it's very, very remote to hear the audible voice of God. And I'm not saying it can't, but it's probably unlikely, but it's possible. Don't say it can never. Never, ever say never. But it's a possibility that God may actually speak to you in an audible voice. Be listening. But if you're not listening, you'll never hear it. The primary way that God's going to speak to you is through his word. That's where it's going to be. It's going to be through his word. And so it's important that that's your primary source. I hope everyone's reading it every day. If you're not, then begin now by reading his word every day. Listen to his word on audio. You know, wherever you can listen to it, it's available in so many different things. I just looked at my phone before, and I think there's that many versions of the Bible I can listen to. And you know, it's unbelievable just at the click of a button. So there's no shortage of finding God's word. Listen to it. Sing it. So much of the songs that we sing and the songs we used to sing, it's all God's word. Sing it and memorize it. It's important to memorize it as well. Find a verse and try and memorize it. Get it into your psyche, get it into your mind, and God will speak to you. Read books and stories. I've read this book. This was lent to me by Kirsty, The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind by Bill Johnson. This is the guy from Bethel. It's a fantastic book and well worth reading. Read quality material, quality books. That's Kirsty, so you can't borrow it. I've got to give it back. But it's a great book. Read good books. Read stories, maybe, of what happens in other people's lives. And don't just think it's happening in their life. It could never happen in mine. Of course it can. God is doing amazing things, not just in other parts of the world, but right here and now. Speak to other people. That's why it's so important. Our small groups are starting up very soon. Some of you are already in small groups because we need to talk to each other. We need to share with each other. We need to pray with each other. We need to communicate with each other. What God is doing? What's he doing? Can he pray with me? Can you prophesy over me? Can I share something with you? Maybe get into groups and see God doing those things amongst you. But you've got to make time to do that. It's so important to make a regular time. If you have not got a regular time with God, then you need to make one today. If you don't get anything else from today, make a regular time. And I don't know what's best time for you. If you're a morning person, it's morning. If you're a nighttime person, it may be nighttime. But whatever it is, make a regular time where you are spending time with God regularly. And increase that. Maybe as you're traveling to work on a train, in the car, whatever it is, I don't know, but increase it. Make time for God. What are you thinking about in your life? There's an old phrase which Carmen used, garbage in, garbage out. How much garbage are you taking in? Yeah, you can easily take in a lot of garbage if you're not careful. There's so much of it around. But it's like food, yeah? If we eat a lot of junk food, then what can we expect? Not really. But it's got to go a little bit. But it can be that we can just munch on junk food if we're not careful, can't we? And we get lazy. And we can get lazy with God in our relationship. And if we do nothing else, God is wanting to bring us back into this practice in his presence, getting into his presence. One of those phrases up there from Martin Luther said, I think God wants to do something with me today. I'll have to spend another hour in prayer. We wince when we read that, don't we? How on earth? Yeah. But it's so true. If we're going to do things for God, we've got to cut out the garbage and take him in. So a couple of exercises I'd like you really to try and do this week, following on from those breathing things. Just try these. And these are only a couple of my ideas. You've got your own thoughts of bringing your mind back into that focus with God. One thing I try and do is try and make God the first thought. So before I get out of bed, speak to God and say, God, what are you doing with me today? Get that first thought as you wake up. And it might suddenly be, oh, I've got this today. I've got this interview, or I've got this class to deal with, or I've got this problem at work. Try and park that and say, God, what are you doing with me today? Lord, will you be at the center of my life today? Make him the first thought before you get out of bed. And make him the last thought as well. If you're struggling going to sleep, there's a couple of good tips to go to sleep. One is to pray. One is to read your Bible, because it's a nap. It'll happen. That wasn't a pun either. It's a nap. But do it anyway. Make God the last thought as well as the first thought. So start and finish with him. Try and avoid switching your mobile on and spend time with God first. If that's your time, don't switch your mobile on because you're sure to get distracted. Yeah? If you've got an alarm even, put it onto buzzer, not radio, because that'll be the first thing you'll hear. It'll be a song. It'll be on your mind for most of the day. Put it on buzzer and listen to God first. See what he's saying. He wants to be first in your life. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above. We need to do it. We've got to set our minds. Yeah, it's not just going to happen. We've got to deliberately try and do it. Otherwise, it won't happen. That's why exercises are so important. We've got to do it. And exercise is difficult, as I know. But I've got to have to do it. Chris is on my back. What are you going to do about it? I've got to do something. But unless I set my mind to do it, I'll never do it. Set your mind on him. Just one last thing as well. Maybe some time trigger points. This is something I use where on my mobile, I've just got a little bleep and I can just set it at various times in the day. So 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, I just get a bleep message and it just reminds me, refocus. And just in that moment, just take 10 seconds maybe. And just, oh Lord, what are you doing? Lord, Bring him back in. And I know it's difficult if you're in work circumstances, but you can put it on silent, you can put it on vibrate, and do it something that suits you best. Not just those times, because I say, but whatever suits you best. But just little time reminders to say, God, come back into my life. So it doesn't just drift. So from first thing in the morning to last thing at night is a big gap in between, and God doesn't have any part in it. No. And if you can fit in so many other things in the meantime, do it anyway. Let's get our minds thinking as God thinks. God's desperate, you know, for a deep relationship with you and me. So often he's talking to us, he's prodding us, and we're not paying attention. We're missing completely. God wants a deep, living relationship with each one of you today. You all matter. We all matter. We've got significant things to do in his kingdom. But it's up to us to do it, to set our minds on things above. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. Just as the worship group come back, we're just going to sing a song. And just in this moment, just right now, just determine in your own mind that you're going to do something this week to think with God, to give him opportunity. And you do what you can do and what fits with you. But whatever you do, do something. Lord, help us this week in our busy schedules, Lord, with so many pressures of family life, so many pressures of relationships, so many pressures with work, so much stuff the world throws at us, Lord. Help us not this week to get squeezed into the way of doing things, because the world says, but help us, Lord, to get squeezed into what you're doing. We want to be like you, Lord. Our mold needs to be like what you are. We want to be God-shaped people, Lord, so that we can make a difference in the places we work, a difference in the community, a difference in our homes. So, Lord Jesus, will you come in, renew our thinking,